This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Welcome to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal, a lineupmedia.fm production, and Everett and I are back this week.
Back again, just like every week.
Every week, yeah. I'm excited about this one. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about. This
I wasn't super excited about it until
today.
Well, I would say yesterday, maybe even the day before when I first started to really look into Skinwalker Ranch, and by the way, we're talking about Skinwalker Ranch today. When I first started looking at it, and it turned out that they got fucking one of everything at Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah, everything. That's the hotbed for paranormal activity.
Which is weird. I mean, I guess we've had people requesting we talk about this for a long, long time, at least a year or so.
And well, you know how we are. If we're,
you think it'd be more
popular. If we don't want to do it, we ain't. No.
Maybe it is popular, and it's just not popular to us, I guess due to the fact of all the people who've requested it. But for all the shit that's going down there, it should be much more popular.
It definitely should.
So where is it? Where and what? Let's get into it about Skinwalker Ranch.
Okay, well, where is it? It's in Utah. It's on the Ute Indian Reservation. It's right by Fort Duchesne and Bottle Hollow Reservoir. And those all are like all linked into the
history.
That's
the geographical area of the Skinwalker Ranch area. Because Skinwalker Ranch isn't really a specific, marked out place.
Well, it's
a
ranch.
Nickname for, Bigelow Ranch / Sherman Ranch exists on the area. The reservoir exists there.
The Fort Duchesne.
Or Fort Duchesne exists there. So
then there's another neighboring property.
On the eastern side of the reservation.
Yeah.
There's a shit ton of the reservation.
The northeast of Utah, and there's another neighboring property, which is also a hotbed for paranormal activity, too. Mm-hmm. So it's like the whole area. It's all everyone ever talks about is Skinwalker, but it's really like a huge area. Skinwalker is just like about a quarter of the area that has all these paranormal sightings. A lot of it date back to the Ute Indians, though.
So let's get into that. Ute Indians. So the story you first hear about that area coming into light was in the 1870s, something like that?
It was late 1800s. I'm not honestly for sure exactly what decade, but it didn't say. It just said late 1800s in the two articles that I read.
So at that point in time, the United States government had given the Ute Indians that big-ass reservation. It's their land. Something like, 8,000 acres, 7,000 acres, shit ton of acres.
It was 7,000, I believe.
7,000 plus acres.
Yes.
That, by turning it into a reservation, they pretty much stripped all, American law from the area. So you had a lot of places like brothels and salons and shit like that people would go to that were off the books. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's about 150
miles. It's like how we have
casinos
these days on the reservations. They had brothels.
Yeah, it's about 150 miles from Salt Lake City. And it was built with federal money to help the Northern Ute Indian tribe with, and this is what it says, economic diversity.
What, the reservation?
Yeah, no, the...
Or Fort...
The motel and the convention center at Bottle Hollow.
Gotcha.
So what Bottle Hollow is they named it Bottle Hollow because Fort Duchesne's a really close military fort right by the Ute Indian Reservation. And speculation could be that they put that there because of all the UFO activity or all the crazy shit going on. But they got a military base right there. And the soldiers and people would come back, and throw them.
I guess from reservation.
Well, yeah, they'd go to the reservation and get drunk, because they got brothels and bars.
Well, who knows what they were doing? They decided to go out and visit the brothels.
We're speculating on the brothels and bars, but they're getting drunk and shit.
But on the way back to the camp, which is on the far right side or the far eastern side of the reservation, they'd walk past this, I don't even know what it was called. Now it's called
It's a reservoir, Bottle Hollow Reservoir.
Bottle Hollow Reservoir. They'd walk by and toss all their glass beer bottles or whatever down in the reservoir.
Yeah.
Even being dickheads in the 1800s, people were.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, in the 80s, it actually became a resort called Bottle Hollow Resort.
Well, yeah,
it was like a local
flooded it and turned it into a giant-ass lake.
Yeah.
And after they did that, you started getting a lot of stories specifically from the Ute Indians about like mega serpents and big serpents that existed inside this reservoir. It's like they created a new modern mythos of a cryptid.
Well, yeah, and they actually, the Ute tribe actually abandoned the reservoir in the 80s because there was a big oil boom, like the Unitah Basin in the late 1980s. Mm-hmm. It had a big oil boom, and once that was gone, I mean, they, you know, there was no more.
They saw some money for a while.
And yeah, and so they basically abandoned it too. But yeah, it was the late 1800s. They designated 7,000 acres public domain, inadvertently exempted that acreage from any official control of law enforcement. So that's why they could have brothels and salons and shit, because they weren't, there's, you know, it, the only law that's there is the tribal police because it's a reservation.
Mm-hmm.
They're not allowed to go in there and do police act.
I don't want to shit on tribal police, but they're notoriously not as strict on the law as regular.
No, right. But that's the idea, I guess. You know what I
right.
mean? But, you know, in the evenings when they'd return home from the drunken stupors that they were in, going past those brothels, that's what they do. They'd throw their bottles in that fucking little ravine, and it became known as Bottle Hollow.
So, right.
And that's, but that's right there by Skinwalker Ranch. And
I would say not by, I'd say in.
Well, remember, I thought it was the Ute territory, and it was like Bottle Hollow was down at the bottom or above the Ute territory, but next to Skinwalker Ranch.
Well, I don't know. There's really no border to Skinwalker Ranch. I thought of it as the entire area also encompassed Sherman Ranch.
But see, that wasn't how I thought of it. I thought of it a little different. I thought
as
of it
just Sherman Ranch?
As Sherman Ranch and Bigelow Ranch was Skinwalker Ranch. Hmm. That's the way I thought of it. But there's other ranches right there, so that's why I don't think you can actually say that this ranch is Skinwalker and all of them are Skinwalker.
Sure.
Just this one. But this one over here is also seeing paranormal activity too.
Well, on some of the more famous shows where like Joe Rogan went out with, what's that guy's name?
You got a pen? Throw me that pen behind your computer.
I'm not going to do that. Give me a second. What is that guy's name? What's that son of a bitch who's making a lot of money off of these days or trying to? Ryan something or other?
Art Bell?
No, Ryan Skinner. So Joe Rogan went with Ryan Skinner out there and they were supposedly on Skinwalker Ranch, but they weren't actually able to get on the property. So, like on the Bigelow Ranch property. That's what they did. They went out and looked across the way at Bigelow from the top of the ridge.
Right.
But they claimed they were on Skinwalker Ranch, so yeah. I don't know. Doesn't really matter, I guess.
Well, let's get some of the history going on this.
So, yeah, the Ute Indians apparently they're very into some supernatural shit because they used to tell some tales of a couple different cryptids in the area. One of them is called the Dark One. It's an extremely rare cryptid. It's possibly human. It's shaped... it's a shaman trapped in an alternate timeline who lives in another universe, basically.
Yeah.
They describe him as a silent Native American who's sometimes seen peering through a portal.
Yeah, that's a pretty, like, shit scary story to me, I think. You know, the Dark One.
Yeah.
Because they see him, it's just like a shadow, you know?
Right.
It's probably pretty fucking scary if that's an actual event that they're seeing. Yeah.
And they also had tales of the titular skinwalkers. So what a skinwalker is basically just a shapeshifter. It's more or less
Odo.
Take off of your classic European werewolf type of story.
Is Odo a skinwalker?
No, Odo is just a straight out shapeshifter.
Well, then did you just said a skinwalker's a shapeshifter?
Well, a type of shapeshifter. I mean, there's shapeshifters that, you know, basically think about in Blade 3, was it, where the dude would change their entire facial structure?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What about in G.I. Joe, where the little nanobots would make them?
Yeah, it's kind of shapeshifting, but it's not in, like, Odo. He was liquid.
Yeah. Oh, Odo was liquid? I didn't know that.
Yeah. It was interesting. So you were going on, too, about the, the skinwalkers. So tales of those for many, many moons. There we go. Skinwalkers.
Mm-hmm.
The abandoned resort. So you can find pictures of this resort, which is actually pretty cool. Get on Google, just type in abandoned resort at Skinwalker Ranch, and you'll get a link to a Flickr page. It has all kinds of cool pictures of a classic southwestern-looking Indian type of reservation area, but you can tell it's a hotel and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking all decrepit. You can go inside and see all the furniture that still sits inside the resort. It's pretty neat. I took a look at it for a while. So the popular version or the popular accounting of Skinwalker Ranch kind of begins in 1994 when Terry and Gwen Sherman bought 480 acres inside the reservation.
The interesting thing is, though, that I looked and tried to find like who they bought this from, like where did this come from? Like, but it's all it said in multiple different sites was absent owners with the intention of raising cattle. They bought it from absent owners. So I'm sure with public records and you could dig around and find this, but just on the surface,
I want to buy some absent owner property. It's got to be cheap.
Well,
right?
Just on the surface, it was a little difficult to tell who they bought it from. You know what I mean?
And to me, it's a little weird too that they bought seemingly desert for raising cattle. I don't know a lot about raising cattle, but you wouldn't think that'd be the best place.
Well, I mean, it's a ranch. It's not really desert. I mean, there's...
Yeah. Ooh, have you seen, like, video?
No.
So you didn't get that part?
Fair enough.
It looks like desert to me. Yeah, there's little bushes and shit, but it's sparse desert vegetation. It's not where you'd want to raise cattle, in my opinion.
So the Shermans that brought this in 94, these are the people that actually... They're the ones that are responsible for 90% of all of the Skinwalker Ranch stories, myths, everything that's happened.
Well, sort of responsible.
I'm going to say 90%. What I feel like, my personal opinion, is that they heard some old crazy stories from some Indians, and they decided to ramp it up a bit. But they're responsible for the wolf, right? The mega wolf that they saw.
Right.
The shotgun, the impenetrable, the bulletproof wolf.
Well, we'll talk about that in just a second. They're kind of responsible for it. I would give more of that to Kelleher Knapp, the documentarist who wrote articles in, you know, some Vegas publications and
right.
Utah publications, who really brought it to life, and they got him their first amount of, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? News coverage, I guess.
Yeah, their 15 minutes.
Publicity.
There you go.
Publicity. The wife had actually also done a guest spot on Coast to Coast, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Long ass fucking time ago.
Yeah, but anyway, so that the Shermans had reported on poltergeist activity, groceries, like they'd bring their groceries in from the store and they'd unpack them all, and then they'd go to the bathroom and come back and they'd all be packed
back in the grocery bag. That was the weirdest. The mega wolf story, or the crazy wolf story, was an interesting one. So how I had heard that story was the family was outside, Terry and Gwen and their son, I think is a 10-year-old boy, and out of nowhere, there's this big-ass, like, 200-pound wolf, look like a dire wolf from Game of Thrones, comes sauntering up, blue-eyed and whatnot. And he seems kind of calm, but they were kind of weary of it because, you know, a wolf is a smart animal. They'll make you think they're okay, then attack
wolf
you.
Wolf don't play no shit.
So, sure enough, a little bit later on, the wolf saunters over to one, I think their sheep pen or something like that, or lamb pen, I don't know, grabs one of the motherfuckers by the head, or I think it was a baby calf. Because they raise cows, obviously,
right,
so that makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
It starts to drag it away. So first things first, he comes up and tries to kick it in the belly. You know, get off my fucking calf. Doesn't do anything. So hits him with some sticks and do what he can to bludgeon it. Doesn't faze it. Tells the boy, go get my magnum. You know, go get my gun. So he shoots the fucking thing like twice. Doesn't really even faze it.
See, this is you're directly off from where I said. We're all the way the same up to there because it was a shotgun.
The shotgun comes next. After he shoots him a couple times with the magnum and really nothing happens, he shoots him and they see a fucking puff of blood come off, you know, flesh come flying off of it. Like, they did get a hit.
Yeah.
Then they get the fucking shotgun and shoot it again. That backed it up a little, but just barely. And it just went away, apparently, I guess, is the end of that story.
Yeah, that's crazy. So they shot this wolf, what, four times?
Four or five times with the shotgun, blew pieces and chunks of it off.
Calf survive?
I don't know.
Huh? At least they... What's that's veal?
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Even if it didn't, we eat tonight.
Right. So there was a portal over the neighboring property that the Shermans apparently witnessed multiple times.
So, yeah, there's two types of portals I read about. There's like orange portals and blue portals. One of them, the blue portals, I believe, are ones that allow vehicles, apparently, to transverse this interdimensional portal. And the orange ones have people and like cryptid or aliens or animals or some sort of weird shit. So different types of portals for different types of moving in and out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't really even get much more... or find much more talk about the things, the vehicles or the people that come through these things other than, you know, the story of the dark one.
Yeah, well, there was the white-faced people also, too.
Oh,
so there was
yeah,
a story
yeah.
of, like, all those white-faced people that show up in, you know, at night, and they came through the portal also. But the Shermans, Terry and Gwen, also were noted saying about, like, ghostly voices, strange shadows. Like, they would just hear shit all the time there. And one time they found her hairbrush in the freezer. I mean, there's just so much different... Like, it was a constant paranormal thing. If you hear these people explain
could be sleepwalking.
Their lives were, yeah,
it's like Dale
totally
Dobek,
disrupted.
You know what
by,
I mean?
Yeah, constant paranormal
The clown
activity.
Has no penis. Fucking love that movie.
Kiss you right on the mouth,
Kenny
Leonard
Rogers.
Nimoy. Leonard Nimoy.
That was great. Or kiss you right on the lips, yeah.
Yeah. So, but after that, so the Shermans sold the ranch to Bigelow.
Robert Bigelow.
Bam Bam Bigelow or Deuce?
Neither of those Bigelows. Robert Bob Bigelow, who was a Vegas hotel owner. He owns a chain of hotels called Budget Suites.
Not to be confused with Budget 8 hotels, because that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, Budget Suites of America. It's a privately held hotel chain founded in 87. He owns like 10 hotels, primarily in Vegas, some in Dallas. Phoenix, he has a couple. What it is, though, it's an extended stay hotel. It's like a suite. So you go in there, you have a bedroom, you have a full kitchen and a living room area. It's meant to be like an apartment you rent for weeks at a time.
Right. Extended stay, yeah, they have. I know what that is.
He's a billionaire from it, apparently, though. I don't know how you can own, you know, 24 hotels and be a billionaire. They must be big fucking hotels.
But see, that's not... Now, Bigelow Aerospace is why he's a billionaire.
Well, we don't know exactly what Bigelow does other than fucking creepy shit.
Yeah, but we know that it's supposedly funded by the DOD, and that's all we could find about
that.
Well,
it used to be.
Supposedly,
yeah,
right.
That's a good point.
They pulled their budget, but...
Yeah, with an apparent reallocation coming someday. Who knows when that article was read? I think somewhere around 2009.
Yeah, but what we didn't say was that I want to reiterate that the Shermans that bought it in '94 that sold it to Robert Bigelow, they stayed after they sold it, and
yeah,
they
it was
ran
like ranch
the
hands.
Yeah, they ran the ranch so after the fact.
The idea when Bigelow bought it, he had read the articles that what were those two guys?
Callum and
Kelleher and Knapp.
Yeah,
he had read the articles they had written where they had talked about some stuff from a book that had written in the '70s that detailed UFO sightings, and between that and the stories that the what the fuck are their names? The Shermans have been talking about. He wanted to buy the area and get down with it. You know, hire some scientists, get in there, check and see if there's any truth to the cryptids, to the aliens, to the portals. That apparently was his whole big deal. I'm going to use my $1 billion fortune.
Yeah. And this guy was he's kind of like us in a way. He was really excited by paranormal activity.
But do you know what his eventual end game was for that? He wanted to catch a UFO so he can create, like, basically his own UFO fleet to ferry people to space and do space tourism.
Really?
Yeah.
Early Elon, eh?
Kind of.
Yeah. But he was like, I don't know, I thought the guy was pretty cool. I mean, he just had all that shit. He did the aerospace and the fucking bought the ranch. But he's like us is what I feel like because he's so into conspiracies. But not conspiracies, paranormal, you know? And
sure.
He wanted to believe so bad that he'd dump all this money into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Totally do.
What, he gave MUFON, what, like $750,000?
Well, that's the rumor, that he bought in MUFON, which...
he brought them in, yeah.
For anybody who doesn't know what MUFON is, it was found... I'll give you a quick background.
It's the Mutual
MUFON.
UFO Network.
Right, it was founded in 1969. It was originally known as the Midwest UFO Network. It was founded in Illinois. It was geographically positioned between its better-known rivals, the National Investigations Committee and the Aerial Phenomena... or National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, headquartered in Washington, D.C., and the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization in Tucson, Arizona. However, each of these organizations maintain its own far-flung roster of investigators and scientific consultants.
Right, quote, that's unquote, quotationed there.
Yeah, so that any group might have a presence more or less anywhere. Long story short, both of those kind of folded and combined with the Midwest UFO Network and became MUFON. So MUFON is... the largest remaining like UFO independent UFO investigations unit in the country. So he brought them in.
Cool about MUFON is it's mutual. It's that they accept stories and stuff from all over, and then
they've all folded into one. It's all the mutual because there was many different investigators that kind of folded into the mutual UFO network.
Well, and they give every case
mutual
a fair shake.
Network.
I get it.
Yeah. Okay. Fuck you.
What else did he founded NIDS? Not to
right.
Be...
NIDS was the research company that basically runs his Bigelow Ranch, Skinwalker and Skywalker.
Bigelow Aerospace or whatever.
Yeah, Bigelow Aerospace.
Yeah.
So it was founded in 1995 and ran until 2004 when it was put into inactive status, whatever that means.
Yeah, it was the National Institute for Discovery Sciences. So however you want to think about that, but. Oh, how did we miss Denise Stoner?
I don't know. What about Denise Stoner?
Oh, she's just the chief investigator for MUFON State Section in Florida.
Oh, did I skip over that?
Yeah, Denise Stoner.
Sometimes I skip over shit I don't find interesting.
I've seen that.
So I'm going back to the Shermans and their stories. We missed a couple of them. We didn't talk about the cow mutilations.
No, that was
cool. We skipped
cool.
over right to the Bigelow. We didn't talk about... So we talked about the mega wolf. We didn't talk about cow mutilations.
If you ever look at any of the pictures and videos of these alleged cow mutilations from Skinwalker Ranch, they're really fucking creepy, dude.
Right, so what the Bigelows were there to do was raise cattle. That's why they bought the land. We talked about that earlier. He didn't raise just any cattle either. He had prized cattle, like thousands and thousands of dollars.
The Shermans, not the Bigelows. Right?
Whatever, sorry, yeah. Shermans, not whatever, but, you know.
Yeah.
Shermans. So whenever he'd lose a cow, it was kind of a big deal because they were very fucking expensive. And he'd find them in the strangest of positions. Like you said, their faces would be
like half sliced off. Yeah, like
down to the bone.
Yeah, and the bone even cut. Teeth be cut perfectly in half.
Right,
with
it
no...
looked like something out of Resident Evil where the fucking laser comes by and flomp.
Yeah, or they'd have perfect circle holes bored
right where their eyes were, and like the skin pulled out right around.
Yeah, dude.
You can find that on YouTube.
There's some very creepy videos and pictures of
two or three different cows it showed.
Yeah, the cow mutilations are pretty fucking weird.
Yep. Okay, well, anyway, back to where we were with Bigelow. I just wanted to get that the cow mutilation things out because I thought that was really interesting and a big part of the story.
Definitely. What about that Ryan Skinner guy? I don't like that guy.
So Ryan Skinner, he runs the YouTube channel Skinwalker Ranch, and everybody basically who goes out to do
it's like a tour guide almost.
Right, basically, anybody who goes out to do research on it, they get a hold of Ryan Skinner, and he gives them the fucking dollar tour, takes you out to the ranch, shows you the places, talks about his stories of what he's seen before. But the problem with this guy is I can't really blame him for wanting to make money, but goddamn, he's
everybody wants to make money, but he's just playing it off of people's
he's the same version as the people in Roswell who run the alien restaurants.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's there.
I find him to be full of shit and wanting to tell the stories to get people to come there to put money in his pocket.
Yeah, he doesn't care about the history or anything of it. He's there strictly for the monetary value of Skinwalker Ranch, you know, what right. he can get out of it.
And furthermore,
that's my opinion.
Have to wonder if he has anything to do with the weird things people see these days with recording equipment and cell phone fuckers.
Yeah, we talked about that. We think he's a bullshit artist because what about when Jesse Ventura was there?
He wasn't there. He sent his
guys,
his
there,
kid,
yeah.
and his. That was one of the worst things I'd ever seen. If you ever get a chance to watch the Jesse Ventura conspiracy theory show on Skinwalker Ranch, you'll shit on it too, because these two guys go in there talking to Skinner. I swear to God, these are the type of guys that as soon as the camera went off, hey man, you want a line up below? You want a bump? Come on, man, let's do a bump. Anyway, they fucking fabricate this whole thing with just weird lights that just look like lights in the sky. They're like, what is that?
Yeah.
And then they get back to Jesse, like, Jesse, we saw all this crazy stuff and our cameras messed up and this and this and that. It was so bad. It was so bad.
Well, like you said, though, we think that the guy sets the shit up.
Yeah, he's got some sort of, like, I don't know, electromagnetic interference device or whatever, something that violates Part F-15 of the FCC rules.
Yeah, right. It's just interfering with your devices is what it's
exactly
doing.
Right.
However you want to say that.
Let's seg real quick into something we were talking about before the show today on my complaint about some of these conspiracy videos. Like, they're goofy.
Yeah.
Quit being so goofy. Not everything that's deals with the supernatural or conspiracy or whatever has to have the fucking X-Files theme music playing over your entire talk, over everything you show.
And we were talking about that with, that was a lot of the reason that we wanted to do it different from the old host that we took over for was because
get rid of the drama.
He was so...
The theater.
Do you guys believe in Paul McCartney dying? He was replaced by a
It happened,
clone.
And if you don't believe it, you're fucking not woke.
Yeah.
And he, yeah.
If there's one more person, you know, we said we weren't going to talk about it, but the guy in the group the other day, he comes in the most militant flat earth motherfucker you ever seen in your life.
Oh, Lord.
Posting meme after meme of flat earth. Every time anybody would try to say anything about it, he'd light him on fire, calling him fucking cheap.
With
and
no good
you're not
evidence,
woke,
though.
Nothing. He copy and pasted all kinds of bullshit.
Yeah.
Eventually, we had to boot this asshole from the group. It got me fired up. I hate to have to boot anybody. I've only did it like once or twice. And this guy was cruising for a bruising, so to speak.
Definitely.
Anyway.
I thought it was... Well, what I wanted to talk about on along that same line is that how, you know, what you were talking about last week, how everybody, we really want to believe, like, you know, conspiracies. So we watch these videos and look at these articles. And
you know, I want this shit to be true. I want there to be aliens. I want there to be a Bigfoot.
But at the same time, you really kind of got to use your head. Don't get involved in something or don't get...
Taken.
Taken, yeah. Don't
by these people who are obviously using you and your want to believe
for
to
a like,
sell
a comment,
YouTube
or a view.
Views. You know what I mean? These people are cocksuckers.
And
don't get me wrong. We want your views. We want your likes and comments and subscribes.
Hey, wait. We're not cocksuckers. Give us your views.
But you,
don't
on.
Give it to them. Give it
listen. You hear that? You don't hear the X-Files music.
Dun, dun.
Dun,
wait, we have,
dun,
a, we
dun,
have a creepy
dun.
Music at the beginning.
We do. But it doesn't play during the whole fucking show. All right. Anyway, that shit's
well,
starting
the,
to get on my nerves.
Well, what made me think about that was I watched a video
not
the other
everybody's
night.
A cocksucker. You know what I mean? Once that lives under their bed.
Yeah, I was watching a video the other night, and it was very entertaining and very, I don't know, it wasn't very informative, but it was like I wanted to believe it so bad, and I really liked it, but at the same time, it was about 3-mile-long golden dragons harvesting chemicals from the moon. So, I mean, gosh, it was just very thought-provoking, but at the same time, you got to look at stuff objectively and think, okay.
Yeah, I mean.
How, I mean.
Pick your battles. The Chinese dragons on the moon is one thing.
3 miles long, harvesting chemicals.
Right.
Though. Yeah.
So. But Atlantis and Lumeria is on a whole other level of believability, but there's still, it's not super believable, but it's fun to think about.
It's fun to, it's like
just
nice
remember not to
entertain
to get
the thoughts. It's
don't
nice
get militant
to entertain
on shit you can't prove. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, don't be that asshole that you're right and everyone else is wrong. Try to keep an open mind about this stuff, because that's what got you here in the first place. Because if you're into conspiracies or paranormal, or it's because you're...
You enjoy the mystery and the unknown.
Not the status quo. You'd like to go against the grain a little bit, you know?
As soon as you become that asshole waving the Bible at somebody, so to speak.
I mean, in that sense, yeah,
when you become religious and a zealot about it, I don't know. Anyway, back to Skinwalker. I only have one more story, and it's another Sherman story that
okay.
I didn't have in order for whatever reason. We set up our outline, the Lethal Blue Orb story. So one night on the Sherman Ranch, the Shermans were sitting around and they saw these crazy three like blue orbs, or maybe more than three, like floating around on a ranch doing weird blue orby things.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
and
the shit blue orbs do.
Yeah, shit, you know, blue orbing it up. And their dogs took an interest to it, and they chased the orbs off across the way. Whatever, I guess weird shit goes down enough, you don't get freaked out when your dogs chased away the blue orbs. Dogs will be dogs, orbs will be orbs.
Orbs will be orbs, huh?
Right. Orbs gonna orb. The next day, they find three, like, burnout areas in the grass on the other side of, the, you know, somewhere else on their ranch, and goo piles. The orbs that apparently gooified their dogs. The night before, they had heard all kinds of whining and shit like that. Apparently, that was their dogs being gooed.
Gooed up.
Gooed up. That's no gouda.
Just like little piles of liquid flesh.
Right. Ugh. Pretty gross, really.
Oh, yeah.
So that's all I have on it. So let's talk about our final thoughts. If it's real, what parts of this do you think are the realest possibilities?
Well, the werewolves kind of, but I don't think it's because of the werewolves. I think it would be because there's probably just big-ass wolves around there. You know what I mean?
I think the wolf is probably a decent deal. The bulletproof wolf story?
But honestly, if you're looking at it from the Sherman's point of view, I really can't do anything that they're saying because...
they seem so full of shit.
They saw everything.
And then they saw everything.
Everything.
And as soon as she did coast to coast, that there pretty much invalidates you. Like,
right.
Now you're trying to get your publicity.
Right.
And I don't know why I'm a cock whenever people want publicity for whatever reason. As soon as I start to think you've made a business out of this, it's no longer it's just a happening.
Okay, so the werewolves, I can chalk that up to maybe a wolf, and if there is some sort of story that happened, maybe they're exaggerating, and maybe it was a wolf, whatever. But the cow mutilation's a little different. So the pictures and videos of that stuff
could actually be a dead cow.
But I'm saying that the pictures and videos of that actually exist, whether or not it was
what if those cows
done malice?
Okay, think Terminator. When there's a time travel with the portals in Terminator,
big
what
dip.
Happens to everything around it? What if that cow?
Maybe that cow
was
just in
the
portal
and
fucking sucked its side of its face off.
I mean, that's one explanation.
Man,
because they say there's portals and stuff. What if they got too close to the portal or wandered up to the portal?
Yeah,
they went to the blue portal instead of the orange portal for people.
But that wouldn't account for like holes bored into their eyes. It would account for half their face being sliced off perfectly, but not like
unlikely.
The holes bored into them.
Unlikely. You don't know the makeup of the portal though. What if it's like not a perfect thing? It just happened to be that it's like nodules. So part of it was a nodule that came out and sucked this part. Another one that would just happen to be like that.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, if we're trying to figure out a way to do it, that would be a way I would think of
it. Yeah, so I just, the thing with the cow mutilations is it's either paranormal or you're sick. So whatever the fuck happened out there, it's one of two things. It's somebody making this shit up, which if that's the case, you're a really fucking foul son of a bitch for doing this to a cow.
That. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, and if not, I mean, because that's really, what other way could it go with the cattle mutilations? It's either bullshit or it's real. And if it's real, that's fucking crazy. And if it's bullshit, then you're just sick. You know what I mean?
I agree.
I don't see that cattle mutilation having much more difference than that.
So let me ask you this. What if there are portals and there are interdimensional beings? Why there? Is it just
Skinwalker Ranch?
Yeah.
Well,
maybe it doesn't really matter where.
Maybe because if
to them it's just a place that's where their portal comes out.
Well, hang on though. Maybe if it is a portal and if there's interdimensional beings,
sure.
Maybe that the Skinwalker Ranch or Ute Indian Tribe Reservation is actually an area that is, you know, maybe it's a hotbed for paranormal activity because it's a place that, you know, a portal can open up, and that's the reason that they've seen these UFOs, strange lights, shadows, cryptids, Bigfoots, all that could come out of that portal, you know, and that could be the reason why it just could be a paranormal spot, you know what I mean?
It goes against everything ever that we know of.
Well, right, but I'm just saying, you're speculating and I'm speculating onto what could cause that, and that would be, I wouldn't know other than that. You know, the mega wolf, the portals. Like, I don't know. I couldn't imagine the looking up ones. Into the night, in the middle of the night at the sky and seeing a big, like, blue fucking portal. Like, I don't know what I would do, you know?
No, I agree. I agree. The whole thing's interesting. You know, I'd love to go out there, honestly.
Listen, follow me here. So what happens if you do see a portal? Nobody's going to fucking believe you. Not a single person. If I came to you tomorrow and said, dude, I saw a blue portal.
Oh, I think you're fucking nuts.
Exactly. Right. That's my point.
I mean, I even have a story where I think of this story.
And I think you're fucking nuts about that. I know the story you're talking about. The black smoke cloud in the middle of the road. Yeah, you're fucking nuts.
I feel nuts about it, too. But, I mean, shit happens.
Right.
It's one of the things that make me believe that there's just shit going on that we don't completely understand everything. We don't know. Our understanding of quote-unquote physics is just our understanding of it.
Yeah, we don't know all the laws of physics.
We don't know the rules of the universe completely. We don't know what this strange ether that we exist in is. We don't know the nature of what this reality is.
No, we don't.
I mean,
we don't know how it's held together or bound together in any way, shape, or form.
We know a little bit of the mechanics between, like, all your gluons and subatomic particles and Higgs boson.
Yeah.
We're starting to get an understanding for the mechanical rules of the universe, but we really don't have an even much more of an understanding about the actual fundamental fabric of reality.
See, that's something I would love to do a show on CERN. But I'm afraid that I don't understand enough about it to talk eloquently enough.
Just, you know, April says black smoke happened. She was there. So.
Fake news, Ty says. That's fake news.
Are we good on Skinwalker? Can we talk about what we want to do next week?
Yeah, I got that. I just wrote that down because I was pretty excited. I forgot. I just remembered it. But yeah, we'll talk about that too. But
let's finalize Skinwalker. Do you believe any of it, honestly? Or do you feel like it's...
No, to me, here's my synopsis.
It's gone way too commercial,
my
right?
Yeah, way too commercial. My synopsis is there was a few eerie tales from the Indians and the ranch owners, the Shermans and the Bigelow.
Capitalized on it.
Yep. They made up, they made the stories up. Or and like
there was
I said,
a UFO even, hotbed in the 70s. There was that book written about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's all about money. This is a commercial deal is what this is. The Skinwalker Ranch is a commercial deal.
Every time somebody goes there with any kind of attempt to get, you know, proof and never come back with proof.
You got people like this Ryan Skinner being a jack-off and fudging the results, you know what I mean? I don't know. I shouldn't say that. I don't know the guy. He's probably listening to the podcast. No, probably not. Fuck that guy.
Anyway, so yeah, Skinwalker Ranch. Get on the group. Give us your opinions about it.
Yeah, yeah. Also, rate the episode.
Oh, 5. Better than last week.
7. 6. 6.5.
6.5. I'll go 5.215.
Ooh, 5 1/8.
Well, no, that'd be 125. Yeah. I'm just going arbitrary 215.
Okay.
So that's that. So next week.
We're hype on next week's show.
Let me bring this back. This was actually a suggestion from a listener I got like not 2 or 3 days ago in a Facebook message. AI. I'll let that percolate for a minute. AI. I don't know. Eric and I thought it sounded really
I'm
cool.
with it, dude. I can't wait. This is going to be a really good
topic.
It's
one of the biggest
about.
Fears people have that's actually a possibility of AI taking over the world. We want to talk about everything about AI, about exactly what it is, how you make it.
Different
when does
iteration,
it become self-aware?
When it first started, like the first artificial intelligence, the most recent ones. Yeah, troubles with it, pros, cons, everything about artificial intelligence should be good next week.
Yeah.
I'm with that one. Oh, the website,
Sarah,
Paul.
Come on, Sarah says, it's over. This was the shortest show ever. Yes, it was quite short. And we did a shit ton of research on it. There just wasn't a lot
to it. To be fair,
worth
though, it was packed with information.
Yeah,
fair enough. You know,
episode did I talk about the black smoke on? I don't fucking recall. I'll tell you about it again real quick.
And we talked about Skinwalker Ranch on an episode before, too, because I remember talking about the guy shooting the dog with the shotgun.
Yep. The black smoke was one time my wife and I were driving through the country-ish area. I don't remember where we were going. Anyway, we take a left onto this road.
Yes, Skynet, for sure.
We go down this road, past some soccer fields by the local college. And out of nowhere, across the road, flies this weird black smoke. It's not even really a smoke. It was like a void, an absence of anything. You know what I mean? When it was a flat black type of void that flew into the kind of the road, kind of snaked into the air in front of us, hovered for a second, and then flew off. My wife and I both saw it. The whole encounter lasted less than probably 6-7 seconds, and it was over, leaving us to believe if we had actually saw it, we thought we saw.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Anyway, yeah, so next week AI. That's it. Join the group, facebook.com/group/SurrealTalk
Yeah. Oh, and if you're planning on purchasing anything off of Amazon.
Ooh, Amazon quote. Or
yeah, you should do that, but it doesn't work on mobile. So yeah.
It does work on mobile, but not on the mobile app.
Not on the mobile Amazon.
So if you go
app,
to SurrealTalkPodcast.com/Amazon on your browser and shop that way, works fine.
Okay, so but you can't do it on the mobile app. But not if you want to buy anything off of Amazon, do it and go through our website, right?
Yes, SurrealTalkPodcast.com/Amazon. Same thing with Audible. If you're into audiobooks, and Eric's been into these real big lately.
I've been into
what audiobooks have you been listening to?
Lords of the Sith and Ahsoka.
So these are Star Wars audiobooks, yeah. But the production value on these apparently is kick-ass, right?
Dude, it's amazing. It's okay, so the Ahsoka book is actually voiced by the actor who voices Ahsoka Tano in The Clone Wars and Rebels. I can't remember her name. Ashley Eckstein or something like that. Anyways, but it's like you hear zoom when they pull out their lightsabers. You know,
pretty good, huh?
Choom, 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 like all the TIE fighter noises.
So yeah, audiobooks these days aren't like just somebody droning along.
You're immersed in a story, dude.
Right.
This is not a guy saying this happened and this is
it's
like
an audio play.
She thought to herself.
Right, an audio
while she's
production.
She's standing there. Yeah, no, that's what I said. You're totally immersed in the stories of the,
it's like a 20-hour long audio
very
movie.
Very good.
Right?
Very good. Yes, very good.
So if you're in want to check out audiobooks, especially these Star Wars ones that Eric's like, go to SurrealTalkPodcast.com/Audible, and that'll forward you on the Audible, make an account, you'll get a 30-day free
trial
and a free audiobook.
Yeah, you get a free audiobook download with that, too.
So check that out. What else we got on our list of bullshit talk? Patreon!
Patreon. We had a new Patreon.
We talked about that guy.
Oh, that's right. We did.
Yeah, but check out SurrealTalkPodcast.com/Patreon or Patreon.com/SurrealTalk. Either way, you'll get to the same place.
If you guys care about what we're doing with that money, we're probably just going to bump it back into the show somehow.
Eventually. It's still just sitting in there. But what that is a voluntary subscription service. If you like what we're doing and you want to help us out and don't feel like buying something off Amazon or getting into audiobooks, you can go there and pledge an amount of money, whatever amount, from a dollar on up, to us every month that we'll get and we'll eventually do something with. So thank you for
Sarah Franco, she said, I just started using Audible. I like a lot. How do y'all get credit for us buying books? I need directions here.
Sarah, just go to SurrealTalkPodcast.com/Audible.
Yeah, go to our website and then click the Audible banner from our website and you'll buy from there, right?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I think if she's already using Audible, we're pretty well fucked.
Oh, is that right?
Because I think it works like you got to sign up.
Oh, you got to have them a new member.
Yeah, we get like a referral.
Right, right.
I don't know, really. I should look into that.
I think so.
I'm famous for never fucking pulling anything out of our accounts, so it really doesn't matter.
Do you guys run out of tape? Wonder what he means by that.
Tape.
We don't. It's digital.
It's digital, sir. We don't run out of hard drive either.
Yeah. No. Well, that's true.
I got a terabyte hard drive sitting that we record onto. So I guess if we went marathon and did a I don't know 8-day show.
48-hour? No, 8 day.
Long time.
I couldn't do an 8-day show.
Yeah, me either. I'd be dead by the time it was over.
I don't know if I could do an 8-hour show.
I bet you could if we had the topic.
The topic. It'd have to be the perfect topic.
It'd
have to be like a group of people, though. Because I don't think.
9/11, which is your favorite
me
topic.
Me and you, we'd kill each other after 4 or 5 hours of arguing over
a
single
topic.
I'd try to
kill you after 4 or 5 minutes.
You know what I mean? If this was filled up with 3 or 4 other people and we could all sit around and just bullshit for 8 hours about a topic, that wouldn't be too bad. I could do that. But I want to start a Star Wars podcast.
All right. We'll see everybody next week. Talking
Thanks.
AI.
Thanks, everybody.
It's been real.
We're going to be excited about that one. It should be a good show.
See y'all next week.
Please. Wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at SurrealTalkPodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter and get all of our podcasts now at LineupMedia.fm.
I'm mad as hell! I'm not going to take it anymore!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.